Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own, and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
My God.
In Gambia for so long trying to confirm his presentation today. So we're on it. Welcome to the family of Study al-Islam, dear Imam. Take yourself off mute and please begin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you all and the compassionate love of Allah and his blessings. It's really an honor to be here, mashallah, Auntie Fitra and Sister Marsha and the whole Study al-Islam family. It's been a long time coming. We've been planning this since the beginning of 2023, alhamdulillah. And my regards and my respect and my love to all of the imams that are present. Imam Yusuf, it's good to see you again. I just saw you about 2 months ago, alhamdulillah. When we came to D.C. With a group of about 30, 40 new Muslims, alhamdulillah. And that was a real honor. And, you know, Auntie Fitra has been saying that she doesn't know anything about this topic, but I assure you, you do. You are a part of this. You are living this. You are part of this river that I'm calling us to become more aware of and more intentional about and to flow with. There is a river of Black Muslim heritage that goes back not just decades, but hundreds of years, thousands of years. And you're a part of it. It flows in you. The river is outside of you, but the river is also is in your veins. It flows in your blood vessels. And that goes for each and every one of you. I first heard about Study al-Islam through our dear auntie, our sister. Many of you, she was a friend, Sister Zarina Al-Amin, and you know, may Allah have mercy on her soul.
Ameen.
And she was the first person to tell me about the great work that Study al-Islam has been doing in the community. And so it's very meaningful that I come here before you on this particular day. So with that, inshallah ta'ala, I will share my screen. The title of this presentation is There is a River. And it's interesting, Black Muslims from Habasha to Harlem. There is a river from Black Muslims from Habasha to Harlem. My dear brother and friend, Dr. Bilal Rudolph Ware, was recently on Study al-Islam. He was one of your guests. And I'm going to be touching on some of the same material that he touched on, but building on that. The river that you see behind you is the Niagara River. It's the river that flows into the famous Niagara Falls. That's one of the seven wonders of the world. And the Niagara River is significant for us as a people, as Black people, as African Americans, as Muslims, because for many of our formerly enslaved ancestors, or we should rather say for many of our emancipated and liberated ancestors, it was the last stop before freedom for those who were on their way to Canada. to become fully free people. And so the river that I'm referring to in this particular presentation is the river of spiritual heritage. It's the river of scholastic and intellectual legacy. It's the river of culture. And we'll be talking about this in a bit more detail. It's the river of our particular worldview and what it means for us and why it's important for us to build culture and traditions and institutions that preserve our particular worldview and our particular social and cultural stamp as Muslims of African descent. Let's look at the Quran first and foremost. In the Quran, in the 49th surah, Surah Al-Hujurat, the surah of the private chambers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I'll read the English just for the sake of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily we have created you from a single male and female and made you into nations and tribes so that you may know one another. In the Arabic, Allah says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uba wa qaba'ila lita'arafu. Inna akramakum 'inda Allahi atqakum. These two words, shu'ub and qaba'il, when you look at the books of commentary of Quran, when you look at what our imams have said about these words, they refer to nations that share common ancestry. They refer to tribes that share a common ancestor. And so in this ayah, Allah's telling us, He has established the social dynamic that we understand to be nations, not nations in the sense of a nation state, a country with imaginary boundaries, but a nation of people that share common heritage or common values and common principles. And then Allah reminds us that the best of you, that He made us these nations and tribes so that we know one another. We get to understand one another, not to fight, not for separation. We are one human family. We are one human family. And the best of us is not based on ancestry, not based on color or socioeconomic status, but the best of us is based on something that is unseen, which is the piety, the God consciousness, the taqwa that is in the heart. The best of you are those who have the most taqwa. Those are the best of you in the sight of Allah. In the next slide, I want us to look at what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said about ancestry. He said, "Ta'allamu min ansabikum." Learn from your ancestry. "Bitawassalu bihi arhamukum." Learn from your ancestry that which will enable you to honor, to preserve this tawassalu. Has a number of shades of meaning, brothers and sisters. Learn from your lineage that which will connect you, that which will enable you to honor and preserve your family, your heritage, your kinship ties, specifically the ties of the womb. And this particular hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it has very important implications when it comes to the spiritual work of honoring our family ties, but also it's very important when it comes to the science of inheritance. When a Muslim dies, we hope that they leave a will that directs their heirs to divide their wealth, their estate, whatever they have left, whether they have $5 left or $5 million left. but to divide that wealth according to Allah's guidance in the Quran. Right. So here we have an ayah from the Quran, and we have a hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, God bless him and grant him peace, that establish the benefits, the importance, and a command to know our ancestry. This next slide, we're going to look at what some of our great scholars have said. The man sitting in the middle is one of the greatest Muslim scholars of the 20th century, who I had the blessing to meet when I was, that in that picture, I'm 20 years old. That picture is, that was 1995. I was 20 years old. I was in Nigeria, northern Nigeria. And to the other man sitting on the in the picture is the grandson, one of the grandsons of this scholar. The name of the scholar is Sheikh Wazir Junaid ibn Muhammad al-Bukhari. And I mention him because of this quote. He said during an acceptance speech that he gave in the 1970s, knowledge is certainly universal and timeless, but it has a social and cultural stamp. It also has a purpose and a commitment to a particular worldview. It therefore cannot be neutral. This quote is pregnant with meaning. Because he's telling us knowledge in its essence is neither of the East nor the West. But that knowledge comes through a human vessel. And that knowledge comes through a human channel. And that human channel, that imam, that sheikh, that sheikha, that scholar, that mother, that father, that grandmother, that grandfather, that elder, that uncle, that auntie, whoever, that community that transmits that knowledge, they have a social and cultural stamp. And as Black Muslims, as Black American Muslims, we have a unique social and cultural stamp. As a nation, as an African people, right? But then also we here who were brought, some of us willingly, some of us unwillingly, some of us came willingly, and some of us were brought unwillingly. Some of us came to the wilderness of North America, free a few hundred years before the European Atlantic slave trade. And many of us were brought in chains against our will. But even then, there's stories. There's a story about a man I'm going to mention to you in a few moments. You'll see an image of him, Imam Makandal, who the oral tradition of Haiti, the country of Haiti, when you go to Haiti, they will tell you that Makandal, who came to Haiti in the 16th century, that he allowed himself to be captured when he was in West Africa in order to bring freedom and liberation to the people here in the West. And so that was also going on. The quote goes on, Sheikh Wazir Junaid says, it also has a purpose and a commitment to a particular worldview. It therefore cannot be neutral. Yes. So we have a particular worldview. The question we should be asking ourselves, the question what we should be making sure that our curricula, our syllabi, our masjids, our mosques, our Islamic schools, our after-school programs, weekend schools are transmitting to our children is our particular social and cultural stamp, not those of others, of other ethnicities, even though they're even Muslims, not the worldview of Arab Muslims or Pakistani Muslims. And specifically regarding our tradition as African-American Muslims, not even essentially or primarily the worldview of our brothers and sisters from Senegal or from Nigeria or from Ethiopia. We have, within the African Muslim worldview, a unique lens that our unique history as a people in the Western Hemisphere has given us. And I was blessed to meet Wazir Junaid, like I said, in 1995. He passed away in 1996. And he was a great man. He was a judge. He was a judge. He was a prime minister. He was a scholar. He was a spiritual guy. He was a linguist. He was a historian. He was a poet. He is an author of many, many, many books. And he's written a lot about this particular subject because of how important it is for the success of a people, for the resilience of any culture, any civilization. He quotes in one of his books a poem from a scholar from Timbuktu. This scholar wrote hundreds of years ago. This is going back 400 or 500 years. He said, whoever does not inform his children of his grandparents has destroyed his child. Now, grandparents is not to be taken literally. What's meant here, grandparents, is a metaphor for your ancestors. Whoever does not inform his children of his ancestors, he or she has destroyed his child, marred his descendants, and injured his offspring the day he dies. Because that knowledge will leave with you. The Africans have a, we have a proverb in Africa, when an elder dies, it's like a library has been lost. When an elder passes away, it's like losing a library. Whoever does not make use of his ancestry has muddled his reason. Whoever is unconcerned with his lineage has lost his mind. Whoever neglects his origin, his stupidity has become critical. He wasn't biting his tongue. He wasn't holding back. Whoever is unaware of his ancestry, his incompetence has become immense. Whoever is ignorant of his roots, his intellect has vanished, and whoever does not know his place of origin, his honor has collapsed. I think my first teacher, Sheikh Muhammad Sharif, who established the Sankore Institute of Islamic African Studies International, for bringing these quotes to my attention when I was a new Muslim early on, James Baldwin, what does he say? That one of the greatest writers and of the English language. Know from whence you came. If you know whence you came, there's absolutely no limitations to where you can go. If you know the legacy, the history, the language, the philosophies, the religions of your ancestors, you now have a roadmap of success. You know what your potential and your possibilities can be, and you are able to stand on their shoulders of your foremothers and forefathers. And so it's absolutely imperative, my brothers and sisters, in our masajid, in our mosques, in our schools, in our homes, we have posters, we have books, we have art, we have music, we have poetry, we have song that's constantly reminding us of where we come from and what we achieved and where we made mistakes so that we can learn from those and not repeat them again. This is a map of what in the classical Muslim world was called Bilad al-Sudan, the land of black people. And it stretched, as you can see my mouse here, it stretched all the way from Eastern Africa across the continent to what's called Senegambia today, from the East Coast to the West Coast. And before colonization, before the British and the French and the Portuguese and the Spanish, and the Dutch came and started to carve up the continent for their own economic and political benefits. This was one unified polity with different tribes, different nations, as we said, but a common worldview, a common social and cultural stem that exists to this day, even though the people now in these places have different passports. There was a common Muslim culture, and we brought that with us to the United States. We brought that with us to the Caribbean. We brought that with us to South America. In the top right corner, you see a picture of Akhenaten and Nefertiti and King Tut, right, who's known as King Tut. And the hymns of Akhenaten, if you've ever read, and I'm going to be putting out, I'm going to share things that I need. I hope you're writing this down. I hope you're taking notes. So the hymns of Akhenaten, you should look that up. The hymns of Akhenaten, I'm going to type it in the chat. The hymns of Akhenaten. If he was a pharaoh of Egypt, and pharaoh, of course, is a title. A pharaoh is not necessarily a bad person. The word Fir'aun means a ruler. That's what the Egyptians called their kings, their emperors, their queens even. And he was very unique because he taught the oneness of God. He taught monotheism. And when you read his hymns, you would think he's a Muslim. And there have been scholars, there have been academics that have posited that there is evidence, sufficient evidence that he was a Muslim. Now, this is going way back, and this is extremely important because we have to trace the river of Islam among black people, among African people, even before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. God bless him and grant him peace. Because Islam didn't start with Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Right? We all know this. Islam began with the first human being. The first human beings, Prophet Adam and grandmother Eve, peace and blessings be upon them. And then below him is a picture of the most, Dr. Bilal Ware always says that Forbes magazine contacts him every year and asks him the same question. Is Mansa Musa still the richest person who's ever lived? And Dr. Ware does the calculations and, who has made the cut, possibly. And he says, to this day, absolutely, there's no contest. Mansa Kankan Musa, richest human being in history. His Hajj, where he took over 1,000 people with him. There, went to Mecca and Medina and came back to show his devotion to Allah. It is epic. And it was chronicled by historians. And there are even dances. Did you know, brothers and sisters, that the people of Mali even have dances that they perform to this day that tell the story of the Hajj of Mansa Musa? And he's holding in this picture a nugget of gold. And I want you to see this picture because that is how the world looked at black people, at us, before the European slave trade, before the Ma'afa, the great catastrophe. The picture next to him and his brother, I'll just say one other thing about Mansa Musa. I can't spend too much time on these because there's a lot of information I want to share with you. His brother, Abu Bakr, is reported to have taken an expedition on two occasions and sailed towards the west. And some historians believe that he made it to what we know as the Americas today, before Columbus made it here. They knew the world wasn't flat. They knew that you could navigate around the world. And again, these were black Muslims from the Empire of Mali, right? Which, again, is this incredible knowledge that's still preserved in the hundreds of thousands of manuscripts written in Arabic from the Empire of Mali, the Empire of Ghana, the Empire of Songhai, the Empire of Sokoto, Darfur and Takrur, and so many others. Next to him, the picture next to him is the picture of the Bahian anti-slavery rebellion of 1835 that my own family is connected with. That's why I have the last name Mendes. Did you know that outside of Africa, the largest population of black people is in Brazil? And in fact, I'm planning to go to Brazil next year, inshallah, in September, to do more research and to share with people the Islamic African heritage that's in Brazil. There's a part of Brazil called Bahia. If you go there, you think you're in Africa. And the Muslims, the Yoruba and the Hausa Muslims of Bahia, Brazil, they united to overthrow and to take off the system of slavery, that the cruel, demonic system of slavery that they were in. The next picture is the picture of Imam Makandal, who is known as the Black Messiah. I have an article that I've written on Sapelo Square, for Sapelo Square, called Makandal, Black Messiah, First Imam of the New World. He was, as I mentioned before, he was someone that the tradition says allowed himself to be captured. He was fluent in Arabic. This is in the 1700s. He allowed himself to be captured and brought to what became the island of Haiti. He knew multiple languages. He mastered French better than the French slave owners. He was a musician. He was an artist. And he was a masterful leader. And he led the Maroon communities in Haiti. And he began the Haitian Revolution, the first phase of the Haitian Revolution, which gave birth to the only government in the history of the world, to have been established by formerly enslaved people. The only one. And we don't hear about this in our history classes. This is the only anti-slavery uprising that was successful. And Haiti has been suffering and has been France and the United States have been making Haiti pay for this with reparations and other measures as retribution for daring to defeat their armies. They defeated the army of Napoleon Bonaparte. And above it is a picture of African-American Muslim women. And again, this I want you to see that these ancient Egypt, these are Muslim women, some in the Nation of Islam, some Sunni. These are people that are united by a common worldview and a common sociocultural stamp. If you dig enough in the history, in the manuscripts, if you dig enough within you, you find this beautiful river of flowing through all of us. The next thing we want to talk about is the original message to the black man and woman. Right? Many of you are familiar with the book by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Message to the Black Man. Before his message to the black man, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a message to the black man. And on the left of the screen, this here is an actual copy of the letter that he sent during his lifetime, peace and blessings be upon him, to the king of Ethiopia, to the emperor of Ethiopia, which was a superpower of the time. There were four superpowers: Ethiopia, or what that was also called, that was called Abyssinia or Habesha. There was Persia, there was Byzantine Rome, and China. Those were the superpowers during the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abyssinia, Ethiopia, Greater Ethiopia was the only superpower that embraced Islam, whose leader embraced Islam, and many, not just An-Najashi, and the leader of Ethiopia at that time, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved and sent this beautiful letter to. Name was Ashama ibn Abjar. You should know his name. Ashama ibn Abjar. I'm going to write it in the chat. Ashama ibn Abjar. I'm sorry, the autocorrect changed the spelling. Ashama, there you go. And he was known for his wisdom and his piety. And the letter, we're going to read the translation of the letter that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent to him. But this letter really, again, it's Prophet Muhammad's message to all of us, not just to Ashama, as you'll see. And it gave birth to this great city of Harar, Ethiopia, right? That when you enter it, you see this sign, City of Peace. Ethiopia is known for its peaceful coexistence of Christians and Jews and Muslims. Going back to ancient times, this city of Harar, brothers and sisters, is a city that's built based on the Quran. It has five gates around it for the five pillars of Islam. There are 114 masjids, 114 mosques in the city of Harar. Each mosque represents one surah of the 114 chapters of the Quran, and on and on and on. If you go to Harar, it's as if you're walking in a city that is a living Quran. And this is something that is critical and integral to our worldview. Black Muslims are people of embodiment. We're people who aren't just interested in reciting and reading and learning that's outside of us. We believe in embodying knowledge. So we wear it. If you read Dr. Bilal Ware's book, Walking Quran, he goes into depth into this particular aspect of our culture. And this sister here she's making coffee. Allah bless there's an oral tradition in Ethiopia that coffee started in Ethiopia. Those of you who can't make that, may go through your day without one or two cups of coffee, that's part of our tradition. And in Ethiopia, only women are allowed to roast coffee and to brew coffee. Right? It's a very sacred thing. They actually burn frankincense when they make the coffee. They say prayers and they make dua, and you know, they go from house to house in the villages and the towns. It's an event. It's very sacred. This is the letter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam written to An-Najashi, rewritten by my teacher, Sheikh Muhammad Sharif, who's not just a historian and a scholar, but also a calligrapher and a martial artist, among many things. So this is in the handwriting, this one in color that you see here, superimposed on top of the manuscript. The original manuscript is written by an African-American Muslim scholar who came out of the Nation of Islam. He wasn't the fruit of Islam when he was a young man, right? And he made the transition with Imam Wahdi Muhammad, and then he went on to study in Sudan, and now he is one of the ambassadors and inheritors of the legacy of the great Muslim scholar Uthman ibn Fodil. May Allah have mercy upon all of them. So this is the letter that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent. I hope you all have seen this before. We call this the original message to the black man, and this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, from Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, to the great Negus of Abyssinia, peace be upon he who follows the guidance as to what follows. Verily for you I praise Allah, the one whom there is no deity except him, the sole king, the holy, the source of peace, the protector, and the guardian. These are from the beautiful names of Allah. I bear witness that Jesus, the son of Mary, is a spirit belonging to Allah and his word, which he cast into the chaste and excellent Virgin Mary. She thus became pregnant by means of his spirit and his inspiration with Jesus in the same manner that he created Adam with his hand. Verily, I invite you to Allah, the one who has no partner, and to friendship, continuity, and government in obedience to him. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not call the Ethiopians, and by extension, black people, because the Arabs saw Ethiopia, the Habasha, Abyssinians, representing black Africa. This is very clear in the books of Arab Muslim geographers and historians. I call you to friendship, continuity, al-muwala is the word in Arabic, and government in obedience to him. I invite you to follow me and to have absolute certainty with what I have come with. Verily, I'm the messenger of Allah, and I invite you and your government forces to Allah, the mighty and the majestic. It was to al-Najashi, the Negus, Ashama ibn Abjar, and to his forces and to his people. Thus, I have delivered the message and given you counsel. Therefore, accept my counsel. Peace be upon he who follows the guidance. And al-Najashi, when he read this letter, you know what he did? He didn't do what Kisra of Persia did. Khosra of Persia, you know what he did? He ripped up the letter of the Prophet and killed the ambassador. And when the Prophet heard of it, he said, may Allah rip his kingdom to shreds as he ripped my letter to shreds. And in a few years, Persia fell to the Romans. You don't mess with a prophet. But what did Ashama, what did the Negus do when he read this letter? He took it, brothers and sisters. He got down off of his throne. He walked onto the floor of his court. He took the letter and kissed it. And then he put it over his eyes. And he called for one of his courtiers to bring a beautiful box. They brought the box. He folded the letter. He perfumed it. Look at the veneration and the esteem. He's showing a letter from the last prophet sent to humanity. And then he closed the box and he told everyone present, as long as we take care of this letter, as long as we preserve this letter, our kingdom will be protected by God. So this love for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this respect for the Messenger of Allah, again, is something that is key to the spirituality of black people, of black Muslims. And the next slide, we look at this hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, who said the leaders of black people are four. Luqman the Ethiopian, and this is a manuscript depicting Luqman that Surah Luqman is named after. He was known as Luqman the sage, Luqman the wise, the Negus, who we've been talking about, Bilal and Mihjah. Bilal ibn Rabah, who we all know about, and this ayah that we started with, the ayah that the most honorable of you in the sight of Allah, those with the most taqwa, the most consciousness of God, that ayah that Allah has created you from a single male and female, major to nations and tribes, that ayah was revealed when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ordered Bilal to call the adhan on top of the Kaaba on the day of the liberation of Mecca. That's when that ayah was revealed. In Surah 49, Ayah 13. And there were some non-Muslim Arabs who were saying, couldn't Muhammad find anyone better than this black crow to call the adhan? And other disparaging remarks. And then Allah said that ayah, as if to say, our scholars say, this is not me saying, this is what Muslim scholars have said. Allah's telling these Arabs, you think you're better than Bilal? Bilal is better than you, not because of the color of his skin, but because of the consciousness of God that is in his heart. And then Prophet Muhammad, God bless him and grant him peace, he recited these this ayah and informed them of what Angel Gabriel had he you know, informed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of their side conversations, insulting Sayyidina Bilal when he was calling the adhan. And then they knew that there was no way he could have known that unless he had some spiritual, some divine means. And so they also became Muslim. The ones who had been insulting Bilal, they became Muslim. I want to talk about, our time is just about up. I'm going to go through this very quickly, very quickly. I'm not even going to go through all of these. Architecture. In the top right, I'm sorry, the top left, these are Sudanese pyramids, most of the pyramids in Sudan, not in Egypt. This is the Sankore Mosque in Timbuktu. Look at the similarity. And then down here in the far, in the bottom left, is the first African Baptist church in Savannah, Georgia, that with the red doors. If you have a red door in Savannah, Georgia, that meant that you are a black person who owned your property. And I could tell you so many stories about this church. It was built by Muslims. And if you ever go to Savannah, Georgia, look up Day Clean Tours. Day Clean Tours, Brother Jamal Toure. He didn't ask me to do this. He's a Muslim brother. He's like a cross between Dr. Ivan Van Sertima and, Sinbad or Dave Chappelle. He's an incredible scholar, and he's hilarious. Hilarious, right? But he will show you all of the different Muslim artifacts in this church. And it was also used on the Underground Railroad. I'm in Houston right now. This is the Masjid al-Islam, the old Masjid building of Masjid al-Islam, where Imam Farouk was, in Houston, Texas, on Belfort. And then next to it is the new building that Imam Wazir Ali built based off of the Sankore Masjid. So this architectural design of using the pyramid shape is something that we have kept as a people. Quickly, I don't have time to go through this hadith, but this is a hadith about entertainment and music in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm just going to quickly show these are pictures of our musical heritage. The djembe drum, the kora, that Sister Sona Jabate, Pharoah Sanders, John Coltrane. The djembe was used to call people to come hear the Quran. And the scholars would have people play the kora, interpreting, using the cadences of surahs of the Quran. Are you all following me? They would play the same rhythms of surahs for the people. And then weeks later, they would start to recite those surahs, and the scholars would have them translated into the local languages. And so the people are now hearing in Arabic and in their traditional language what they've been listening to interpreted musically. When I listen to John Coltrane's Love Supreme, for me, that's a commentary on Alhamdulillah. John Coltrane became Muslim, and a Love Supreme was supposed to originally have been Allah Supreme. And the late Pharoah Sanders, who just passed, rahmatullahi, Allah have mercy upon him, he was another of these jazz musicians who are Muslim, who used their music to transmit Islam. This is on poetry. We don't have time for this. But this is three great books. Mwana Kapona, Sheikh Afo Dubamba, A Peacemaker for Our Time. Mwana Kapona was a poet on her deathbed. She gave advice to her daughter on how to be a woman, how to be a mother, how to be a wife in Swahili. And that poem is recorded. It is amazing. One Woman's Jihad is a book about Nana Asma'u, who is the daughter of Imam Usman Danfodio. And then I was going to talk about rites of passage. We're going to share that for part two, maybe, inshallah ta'ala. We're going to talk about rites of passage. And we have a tradition of how to bring men and boys into adulthood. It goes back all the way to ancient Egypt. in the book Roots, not the movie, the first 50, 70 pages is all about the rites of passage of Kunta Kinte, the fruit of Islam, the Muslim girls training. These were all ways of bringing boys and girls into manhood, because if we don't, they will go to gangs, they will go to the military, they will go to frats, fraternities and sororities to be initiated into manhood and womanhood. And in the bottom, this is a clip, a screenshot of an interview I do with one of my teachers, Imam Fode Jirame, about his rites of passage in Gambia that is still living, the living tradition. And so, in conclusion, brothers and sisters, a few books that I highly recommend: Black Pilgrimage to Islam by Robert Dannen. He speaks about this river of Islam, particularly in the United States. So he mentions people from, you know, Farid Muhammad, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to Mother Clara Muhammad, Hajj Wali Akram, Imam Dawood Faisal, Sayyida Khadija Faisal. He talks about many of the different movements, the Dawah Islam movement, and the march of Islam and Muslims, Sheikh Hisham Jaber and Malcolm X, Haj Malik Shabazz, and, you know, Sheikh Hisham Jaber and his family in Newark, New Jersey. And, you know, it's a very, very diverse history. The next book is a book I helped to translate on the history of Black people in early Islam. The next book is by Silva Joff, who used to work at the Schomburg Center in Harlem, Servants of Allah, African Muslims Enslaved in the Americas, Illuminating the Blackness on Blacks and African Muslims in Brazil by Habib Akande, Women of the Nation by Dr. Jamila Kareem, Muslim Cool by Dr. Suad Abdul Khabir, about race, religion, and hip-hop in the United States. These are all incredible references for seeing our history, our culture, and its beautiful tapestry. And this is the book that Auntie Fitra, that you had asked me about. This is where I got the title from. Vincent Harding, who is a legend, who is a doyen of Black history. And he talks about our struggle for freedom as a river. And as Muslims, we are part of that struggle. We we sail on that river. And I had the pleasure of meeting his wife when I was in Atlanta a few years ago, who's still carrying on his work. We'll talk about all these people another time, inshallah. I will end with this. I'm planning a trip to Senegal and Gambia. I'm taking a tour. If you are available, we would love to have you join us for a 10-day tour of Senegal and Gambia. And my wife and I also organize this lovely family retreat every year, the Black Muslim Family Retreat. The last one was August 4th, and inshallah next year will be in July. So if you're interested, feel free to contact me. It's for the whole family, every age. It's something for everybody, alhamdulillah. So thank you again. Forgive me for going over a bit, but I'm going to pass it back to Auntie Fitra. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay.
Wow. I don't even know where to begin. There's questions. I'm going to apologize to those who I am going to extend this to answer some of these questions. If you can stay on. But before we go any further, I saw, because many of the people that are with us today, many came through the Nation of Islam. I did. And so first of all, I want to thank you for the references that you have made to the Nation of Islam, because many of scholars, they are beginning to recognize the vision and the guidance, the divine guidance that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had. Right. I mean, and that's okay. I mean, yes. I don't, I'm going to forgive them for not recognizing it when we did. But they are doing it today, and I want to commend you on that and appreciate the fact that you do recognize that that was a pathway that many, many, many in America came to be here today, mm-hmm. Studying the Quran and following the leadership of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Mm-hmm. I saw you had Imam Muhammad on there because many of the people on this platform today did transition from the Nation of Islam or the continuity from the Nation of Islam to under the teaching Imam Muhammad, who led us to Prophet Muhammad. So I do want you to kind of comment on Imam Muhammad because I know that you love him, and I want the people on mm-hmm. this platform to know you love and respect him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you very much, Auntie Fitra. You know, when I first, I embraced Islam in 1993, and about 3 months later, I went to Morehouse. I went to Morehouse College, and while I was at Morehouse, one of the masjids I used to frequent was the Atlanta Masjid of Al-Islam.
Yeah.
The Imam Pleeman, Al-Amin, was the Imam there, and that's the main way I was introduced to Imam Waqidi Muhammad, through Imam Pleeman, through Sheikh Ibrahim Pasha. And the other imams, Imam Basim here in Houston, and Imam Yahya, and Imam Waqidi Muhammad, he was very instrumental and absolutely crucial for us making this connection between the mental resurrection and the economic resurrection that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was able to, with God's help, and as you said, and I agree with you, with Allah's guidance, was able to galvanize. I'm not saying he was perfect. I'm not even going to get into all of that. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But Allah used him and used the thousands, tens of thousands of men and women and children around him to make Islam a household name in the United States and to unite our people. And so I think we have to connect the dots. That's why I named this There Is a River. We must connect the dots, because if we reject that aspect of our legacy, we reject an aspect of what made us who we are. And Imam Waqidi Muhammad used to say, study the Quran, study the life of Prophet Muhammad, God bless him and grant him peace. Study what produced me.
Mm-hmm.
And study the rise and fall of nations. And so I think I do agree with you. I think the more we mature as an ummah, the more we'll start to appreciate the path Allah created for us. Because there's so much value and tremendous benefit in it.
And the steps that it took to take us from enslavement or the influence of enslavement to where we are today.
Exactly.
I mean, and those steps, I have to say, also included W.D. Farad.
Yes.
He was a part of that pathway for us to be where we are. Let's go on. So please speak on the belief of some Muslims that believe that music and pictures in your home is haram. I mean, I went to Sudan and they danced and music was so I saw you had the hadith on music. If you can,
yeah, I can. Let me bring that up real quick.
I would appreciate that for those.
Asked me about that.
Okay.
Back here. Someone else texted me about that. Okay, here it is. This is related on the authority of our mother, Aisha.
Yes.
She can now be pleased with her, who reported that during the days of Mina, this is Hajj, Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, came to her while there were two enslaved women with her. They were beating drums, and the Prophet, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, was covering himself with his garments while he was lying down. Abu Bakr rebuked the two women, but the Prophet uncovered his face and said, "O Abu Bakr, leave them. Leave them alone. For these are the days of Eid. These are the days of festivities. Those were the days of Mina." Aisha added, "I was being screened by the Prophet," meaning covered from other men seeing her. "They were at the mosque while I was watching the Ethiopians performing in the mosque." What were they doing? The Ethiopians were not. So some scholars, sadly and mistakenly, they translate this word that I translate as performing as playing, because the word in the hadith is yal'abun, but it doesn't mean they were playing. The Ethiopians were, when you look at the different versions of this hadith, the other riwayat, you'll see that they had their shields, they had swords, they were not playing around. These Ethiopians were doing a martial dance. They were doing a war dance in the mosque of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with music accompanying them. And they were saying in their language, in their native language, "Muhammadun Abdun Saleh." Muhammad is a righteous servant of God, among other praises of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so then Umar rebuked them. First it was Abu Bakr, then Sayyidina Umar comes and rebukes the Ethiopians. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Leave them." He told Umar, "Leave them alone. O Banu Arfida." And that was the name of this particular tribe of Ethiopians. Banu means the children of Arfida, or the tribe of Arfida, play, or meaning perform, it is safe. Like, don't worry. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. And it's one of many ahadith about the permissibility of music, brothers and sisters. And there's a, I'm going to share a link with you, inshallah. I'm going to leave this up just for us. Does everyone have this? Can I go to, did you take a picture with your phones? Okay, I'm going to share a link with you. Hey, go ahead, Auntie Fitra.
This recording, everyone knows, but I'm letting you know that this recording will be in the newsletter for a week, and then it will be archived on the Study Al-Islam website. So people will be able to review this again and again and again. So that's not a problem. I want to add, while you're doing that, I want to go to the next question. I noticed that Menkendo, left hand, is missing. Did this occur during slavery?
Yes. Yeah. Imam Makandal was initially enslaved on a plantation.
Mm.
And while he was working on, and slavery in Haiti was more brutal, it was more cruel than slavery was in North America. And many of us know this when you study how they took human beings and broke them down. The breaking down began in the islands, in the Caribbean, right? And it was hell. That's how they described slavery in Haiti and what became the Dominican Republic, the island of Hispaniola. It was hell. And so he was working and his hand got caught in one of the machines. And he lost his hand. So that's why when he's depicted by artists, he's often depicted with a hand missing.
And I see on here, and I certainly support 1,000%. We have not done a good job of I see from Anwar, is one of the board members here in Washington, D.C., someone I work very closely with. We haven't done a good job of passing down this history. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad opened that up to us, in telling us about kings and queens and, I mean, things that we had never even heard of. And because, you know, for us, and Imam Muhammad, you know, he talks about we are new people because of our transition from Africa to America. Exactly. And that enslaved experience that we had. It makes us a new people. So you commented on that, and I want the listeners on here to know that one of the reasons that I invited you is because of your respect for the history that many on this platform have gone through. And so, because I don't invite people on here to insult us, and you have opened up a doorway for us to want to know more and learn more about a legacy that extends beyond our enslaved experience. So on your trip to Gambia, you need, if you could send me a flyer or something that I can post in the newsletter for those who may want to go with you. I have a trip in October to Ghana. I'm taking a trip, a group to Ghana in October of 2024. But I want to ask you about your research in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are those who may want to be a part of that research to learn, is that a possibility that we could discuss that with you? And
absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. I would love to take a small group.
Okay.
Me, not more than 20 people.
How long are you planning to stay?
I'm planning to stay for 1 week.
Okay.
For 1 week. Okay. And I just posted a link.
Okay.
Incredible article on music in Islam by Brother Desham Brookins, who is a novelist. He's a musician, and he's a poet, spoken word poet, and I highly recommend reading it. It's titled Music, Islam, Wind, String Instruments, and Fear of a Black Planet. Those of you that are hip-hop heads, you know about Fear of a Black Planet from Public Enemy. And then there's a link here to the tour of Senegal and Gambia that I'm doing with Bayan Islamic Graduate School. That's a 10-day tour. We're planning the Brazil tour to be in next September for 1 week.
Okay.
Inshallah.
Okay.
Inshallah.
So, but I still need to get this information in order to put it in the newsletter. So after this, we will have this discussion. So, you know, I need to invite you back.
I would be honored.
I mean, you can see there's like 211 people, and you know, and some of them have families, and there are groups that have written me that they have study groups that are on here, and so we have to set some time up for you to come back and do some consecutive Sunday talks, so that we don't, so we can continue the continuity in these in this history, which is extremely important important to us. You know, Imam, again, I want to say about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may he be in the highest place in paradise. Mm-hmm. You know, he kept us from being colonized. Mm-hmm. And we didn't understand that at the time. But it prepared us for Imam Muhammad to tell us to be free thinkers, to think for ourselves. Because if the colonizers would have it, we wouldn't be listening to any music. Although we know music, if music is a part of those drums, when you hear them, our spirit, it rises us to an occasion that we just, that is unexplainable.
Absolutely. And the thing about music, well, one of the things, there's so many things we could have a whole presentation just on music. But one of the most profound things I've learned about music is that music reminds us of the time when, it reminds our soul of the time when we were spirits with Allah.
Mm.
That is something that we need to speak more about. This is what, I'm not making this up.
Mm.
This is what Muslim scholars have written about, but it's been, I don't want to say it's been kept from us. I'll just say it hasn't been brought to fore until now. I see a question in the chat about rites of passage. It's something I am very passionate about. Anyone who's involved in it, who wants to work on it. You mentioned Imam Talib, you know, earlier, you know, when we were texting each other. I know that they have a wonderful rites of passage program. We need rites of passage programs because if you don't initiate young people into adulthood, they will do it themselves.
Yeah.
And for young men, if you don't take boys on a journey, if the men of the community, again, the men, and usually rites of passage was not done by a father for a son. It was done by the men of the community.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not take boys on journeys of powerlessness, my son's waving at me, on journeys of powerlessness, they will always abuse their power.
Mm.
Circumcision rites, if you watch that video, I'll post that in the link as well. The video I did with Imam Fode, I'll post it for you. It's on YouTube. On rites of passage, the men of the community, the elders of the community, they would take the boys out for 2 weeks, for a month, for 2 months, teach them not just how to survive. They taught them how to survive in the wild, how to swim, how to wrestle, self-defense, but they also taught them how to be a father, how to be a husband, how to respect their elders. When I was in Gambia, I asked one of my friends, what is the main teaching you got when you were in rites of passage? And he told me to be respectful and respectable.
Mm.
To respect God, to respect creatures, God's creation, to respect your elders, to respect the young, to respect your brothers, and he said to respect yourself. This is just a little bit of, I mean, I can't even go into what all the things. I'll share the video.
And your comments, again, I have to say this because I have a lot of pioneers on here. And many times they have felt marginalized by the general Muslim population. And they have lived, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allow them to live long enough to see that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who created a rite to passage through the classes that he established for the brothers, and they were taught by men, and the classes that he established for women and that were taught by women. And just so that the listeners know, because we got a lot of Imam Talibs around, we're talking about Imam Talib in Harlem. Yes. He has a great program for rites of passage for young men. And so anyone who knows him should feel free to call him and discuss the program that they have. He is in Harlem, New York. I think he's in Harlem. I'm not sure, but
He's in Harlem. Yes, he's in Harlem.
Yeah.
If I could just say something about the auntie, for all the pioneers that are listening, that are watching, know that we need you.
Yes, absolutely.
We still need you. We need you to teach us.
Mm.
We need to hear your stories.
Mm.
We should be listening to you instead of watching Netflix and Hulu and, you know, all these streaming. That's what we used to do. We used to sit at the feet of our elders and listen to the history, listen to the lessons that they learned. We need you still, and we need your blessing. We need you to pass the baton when you're ready and when you feel comfortable. We need your support still to this day. And I want to ask your forgiveness. Any time that you felt marginalized or ignored, or that your experience, that your knowledge, your wisdom was not valued, then know that I apologize for that. Whatever that is worth, on behalf of all the brothers and sisters that have not seen and heard you. But this is a new time.
It is.
A lot of young brothers and sisters like myself, as Auntie Sitala said, have woken up, and we see the importance of your struggle, your sacrifice, of your legacy, and we want to give you your flowers while you and us are still alive.
I mean, that's a blessing. My intention is to invite Sister Zarina Elamine out of Detroit. She has been doing amazing work of preserving our history, and she has a book that's titled 50 Black Muslim Elders Share Stories of Faith and Community Life. And so I am asking, I'm waiting for her to come back. She's out of the country. She's in Japan, and I'm waiting for her to come back. And then I am also going to invite another sister, two sisters actually, from Washington, D.C., Carol Mookman and Monica, to talk about a book that they published. And Sister Saisa, please don't let me forget Sister Saisa, but they published a book here on some of the history of Washington, D.C., and it takes you back to as early as they could find pictures and stories up to the present day time. So yes. I am working on that.
But anyway,
yes. So it's 11:13, and so I will, inshallah, have you back if time will allow you. And I just want to thank you. I see that you have there's a lot of learned people, and I consider them scholars on here that are listening to you. I see Clyde Elamine from Chicago. I have great respect for, and his comment was, you know, that the enslavers did not allow us to beat the drums because of that reconnection between the sound of the drums in our spirit. And amongst other things, I see we have Dr. Amina on here, and she's saying, when are you going to be back? So if there are no questions, are there any questions before we let our imam go? If not, I mean, and this has been an amazing presentation, and I'm so grateful for it. Everyone is saying great presentation. I think everybody is overwhelmed right now. So why don't we give you the last comments, and then we'll ask Imam Omar, who is one of our pioneers, to close us in prayer.
Bismillah. I would, the last comment I want to leave you with is simply for those of you that are our elders, our pioneers, know that there are hundreds, thousands of brothers and sisters who are waiting to hear from you, to write your stories down, to go through your photo album so we can put together these oral histories and written histories. We need you to teach us everything that you've experienced that you're able to transmit and convey. To those that are my age, who are middle age in their 40s and 50s, I want to say that it's time for us to work together. We may have different methodologies, different understandings, different perspectives. We need unity. We need political, economic, we need cultural unity. We need operational unity. And for those that are younger than me, those that are in their 30s and their 20s, and if you're a teenager watching this, I want you to find your local African-American masjid, plug in, be of service, learn as much as you can from the men and the women that are there, serve the community, and be an asset. Go to Africa, go to the Caribbean, go to South America, go to East Georgia, you know, travel, go to Louisiana, go to Africa, Alabama, Little Africa. There's so much work for us to do. There's so much work for us to do on every front. So let's work together. There's a lot of efforts that are going on around the country, and we need everyone to have their hands up and their heads bowed, making dua at night for success. Thank you, Auntie Fitra, for inviting me as a guest. And thank you all for listening. I don't take your time and attention for granted. May Allah bless you and your families. Jazakumullah khair.
And Allah supports, Allah tells us in the Quran, in Surah 17, Ayah 23 and 24, he says, your Lord has decreed, do not worship any but him. Be good to your parents, and should both or any one of them attain old age with you, do not say to them even fee, neither chide them, but speak to them with respect and be humble and tender to them and say, Lord, show mercy to them. And we know that in the African tradition that our parents are a tribe. It is everyone that lives together. And any one of the mothers or any one of the fathers could be a parent to us. So Allah tells us and warns us in the Quran of how we should behave. Before we go, there is Salahuddin. I'm going to let you ask the last question, and then we're going to close in prayer. Salahuddin Tawhidi? You know Salahuddin Tawhidi.
Oh, yeah. I know him very well. It's one of my uncles. I know him very well.
Salahuddin, ask your question, and make sure it's a question and not a comment. I don't want to cut you off. Take yourself off the mute, Salahuddin. I don't know what's going on with
that. I didn't have a question. I probably hit that accidentally, but I just wanted to commend you, sister, for the program and getting our guest, Sheikh Muhammad Mendez, who I've known for years. This was a program that will help to set in motion some events that are going to manifest a new level, a new gear, a new shift in our direction towards unity and liberation.
I mean. Okay, Imam Omar, are you there? Imam Omar is one of our pioneers, and he's one of our older imams. Imam Omar?
So he's there, Sister Fitcher, but
take yourself off of mute, Imam Omar, and close us in prayer. Imam Omar.
I think he's trying to do his audio from a different device, so I'm not sure that's going to work for us.
Okay. Imam Omar? No. Take yourself off of mute. Okay. He's trying. Look at that beautiful gray hair he has. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it looks like he's trying to do it from a phone, but I don't know
Imam
what that
Mendez, if you can close us in prayer, we're going to close out. Imam Omar, we're going to go. Oh, I hate that.
Bismillah. May Allah bless Imam Omar. May Allah preserve him and his family. May Allah give him every good, every ease. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. With the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, all praise and thanks belong to Allah, the Lord of all systems of knowledge, the most beneficent, the most merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment. You alone do we serve, and you alone do we ask for help. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those you have favored, not those upon whom is wrath, nor those who have gone astray. O Allah, we ask that you send blessings upon our leader, Muhammad, and upon the family of our leader, Muhammad, as you have blessed our leader, Abraham, and the family of our leader, Abraham. Indeed, you are praiseworthy and glorious. O Allah, we thank you for this session. We thank you for the brothers and the sisters in faith and humanity that shared these minutes with us. We thank you for the knowledge and the wisdom, the questions and the answers, and we thank you for what we have heard and what we have seen. Oh Allah, we ask your help. We ask for success from you in realizing all of the noble intentions that have been made, all of the goals that have been made in our lifetimes. We ask for complete and total liberation, spiritual, economic, and cultural, for our people and for all oppressed people in our lifetime. Oh Allah, we ask that you make us among those whom you love and that you keep us in the company of those whom you love. Oh Allah, we ask that you reconcile our hearts. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering in Gaza, in Palestine. We pray for reconciliation, for peace, and for justice, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask that you fulfill all of our needs, those we know about and those we do not know about. We pray for the Study al-Islam team, for Auntie Fitra and Sister Marsha and their families and the families of all of those who contribute their time and their money and their talent to disseminate this knowledge, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we pray for our country. We pray for our fellow creatures. We ask, oh Allah, that you have mercy upon them and that you give goodness and guidance to all of the children of Adam. Peace and blessings be upon him. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Ameen. And for those who are asking about the newsletter, we have to include Naima Muhammad, who makes sure that that newsletter gets out every week. Go to studyalislam.com and make sure you subscribe so that the information that you heard today and all of the trips that our dear brother is going to be planning, that we can go. I'm looking to go to Brazil, inshallah, on this study group. I'm telling you that right now. But anyway, so until next week, inshallah, again, I do want to thank the Study al-Islam team, Marsha and Naima, and now Sammy, who is a part of it. I could not do this without them. So I'm forever grateful to them. May Allah continue to bless you and keep you safe. And we'll see you next week. Assalamu alaikum.
Goodbye.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there's nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. Assalamu alaikum. Let his peace be unto you. Alhamdulillah, we have heard a wonderful presentation by our honored guest, our beloved Imam Adeyinka Mendez. He's the founder of the Bilal Spiritual Center for Peace and the Arts. He's the co-founder of the African-American Healing, Ancestry, and Arts Development. He's an author, educator, and international speaker. Praise be to Allah. I shall open up the lines now. I'm quite sure that there is much you would like to share. We only have a few moments of broadcast time left. It's showing 3 minutes, but inshallah, we'll try to utilize a grace period if a Blog Talk will allow that. Okay, I'm opening up the phone line of Erica 504-488. Poet Laureate Bilal Abdullah.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. One God, one humanity, anything else is insanity. It's a poem I wrote, I like to share. I really love this poem. Yeah. Don't give up. It took a single individual with a revolutionary idea. Now prophethood is sealed. Allah inspired a single individual who heart was pure, a free thinker, who thoughts and actions were rational. If you're the only one coming to prayer, don't give up. Or you're the only one cleaning the masjid, doing da'wah, visiting the sick, don't give up. If 20 people commit to helping in an effort and two show up, do what you can with the two. Don't give up. The individual has the right to realize his or her highest potential. You want to respect the rights of others and the society in general. A free mind implies some authority and structure by the thinking and decision-making. A very important principle in our religion is thinking. This is shown in the way we are living. Your worst enemy to improve your condition socially, economically, and political is you when you view yourself as an outsider, unwilling to seek ownership in America. They are benefiting from our intelligentsia. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, alhamdulillah, and we are looking forward to your book on poetry. Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum.
Okay. Area code 347751. I've been informed that we got about 90 seconds, but as I stated, we shall, inshallah, activate our grace period. Mohassan Abdul Salam. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, Imam Kareem, on all the listeners, and especially Brother Bilal. And yes, we are working on the collaboration of publishing a book so everyone can enjoy it in their library and their evolving experience as Muslims here in America. Greetings to everyone. As-salamu alaykum. I have been just kissing my phone. That's the device I've been on and listening to Sister Fitra's presentation for Study Al-Islam today. Tears have been coming down my eyes. I made a sajda to shukr as the broadcast was taking place because we are so grateful for the expansion and the wide door that Allah has opened to our aspirations for freedom and liberation, and excelled our information so that we truly can express what it is to be born anew right here, right now. We thank Study Al-Islam. We thank Sister Fitra. We give her a big Sister Dupreetha hug. All of those who work with her to produce this wonderful expression of history and gratitude. May Allah bless you. I hope to be traveling next year with all of the groups that are going abroad to expand their knowledge, et cetera, and encourage all of us to do that. Allah said, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave, even if we have to go to China, a far distance. So let's accept and experience that and share it with our children, our progeny. Ameen. Thank you, Brother Kareem, so much.
You're welcome, and thank you for your beautiful words of inspiration. Thank you, Mohassan. Praise be to Allah. I'm sorry I cut her off. Okay, Brother Muhammad, assalamu alaikum. Brother Muhammad, assalamu alaikum. Take your phone off the phone.
Yes, sir. Shukran. Brother Muhammad, I'm Umar Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Columbia, Georgia. We thank Allah so much that we have a 40-year-old in our midst that Allah has blessed with a great opportunity to call his people to Shura and to spend what Allah has given all of us on the future. And maybe not so much on the past, but we got to have past. But to spend all that he has given us on the future of establishing this halal favor called Al-Islam upon the human family, but especially our own soul first, is proof that it works. When you remember that there's only one God and Muhammad is his messenger, and this is a favor that we should spend all that he give us from 40-year-olds and up. I hope there'll be many, many more 40-year-olds join this brother here, this Imam, this morning, and encourage us pioneers and youth below them to come to Shura and spend to establish community here in the United States of America before we build it anywhere else, because it's already been built there. It's America, the stronghold of the Shaitan, is where it does not have this model community in foundation laid and building upon. Take these ruins and take this inheritance of this whole planet Earth and build a model community here, and it will echo all around the world, inshallah, Allah, Allah. That's where we want to continue to fine-tune our focus. Because Prophet Muhammad in the last sermon said, maybe it's those who come after you, your future, will not have a black over a white over a black, an Arab over a non-Arab. You will have an understanding when you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad al-Rasulullah, and not even the Muhammad al-Rasulullah, that you become one soul again, one human creation of this earth, and that you are the word for the many worlds that awaits us, because we know we already got one already. And all you're going to hear is the word. You're not going to see the flesh, inshallah, Allah, Allah. You're not going to see the skin color. What you're going to hear is, As-salamu alaykum, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. That's all you're going to hear is the word of the glorification to the creator of all the worlds. Just want to say that.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Muhammad, for your words of inspiration. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. I would like to invite the listening audience, if you would, to tune back in to American Muslim 360 at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 1 p.m. Pacific Coast Time for the broadcast of Keeping It Real. Talk about it. It is hosted by Lou Princess Aziz, and her subject matter is the lingering aftermath of the trauma that human beings have experienced. So we invite you to tune in to Keeping It Real, and let's talk about it. And immediately following that broadcast, you don't have to hang up, is the Contemplations of Imam Walidudin Muhammad. Let me play a promo for that part of the broadcast.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the Contemplations of Imam Walidudin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Walidudin Muhammad here on American Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. So we have a wonderful lineup here on American Muslim 360, Keeping It Real. Let's talk about it and the contemplations of Imam Walidudin Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi. We are grateful to our beloved sister Fitra Muhammad for sharing the simulcast of Study al-Islam here on American Muslim 360. All praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We are above all, we are thankful and we are grateful. I usually end my broadcast with reminding us to be regardful of Allah, to practice shakr, to be grateful, and to be thankful. This morning we came to you with the greetings of peace in the Quranic and Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Allah be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, remain regardful of Almighty God Allah, keep up our prayers, and remain forever grateful and thankful. Allah asks us in the Quran, in the 55th surah, entitled Rahman, or Mercy. Allah asks, فَبِأَيِّ اللَّهِ رَبِكُمَا تُكَذِبَانِ, which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? So we have to be grateful for what Allah has done for us and what Allah is doing for us and what Allah shall do for us. We've got to be thankful. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatton. We've got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, sail and prayer, men's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, 'cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
a little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
Gotta be grateful for my life. And all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy who lives down the street who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, "Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright, you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere. And our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars. light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. The peace that only Almighty God can give.